On the Listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with Joey and Billy.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's Recovery Session.
Yes, this is Damo's Recovery Session, and it might be a bit fitting too, because just having a look at Damo on the Zoom, Billy, he looks a bit weary after a bit of a big weekend over there in Perth. Damo, how was the whole grand final experience and the after party in the last 24 hours or so?
Yeah, g'day Joe, g'day Billy. Just a magnificent part of the world to be in the last couple of weeks, and particularly over the weekend with the Perth City putting it on for the grand final. And I'm nowhere near as weary though, Joey, as some of those Melbourne players who even yesterday when they rolled up to the official presentation in the city itself of the cup and presenting to the crowd inside the centre of the Perth CBD, they still had some strapping on their ankles. Some of them hadn't showered, and some of them still wearing what they wore in the game itself when the final siren went.
Yeah, I could imagine the adrenaline would kick going for a few more days to come. Hey, how was the whole grand final experience being there live? Because we anticipated with the Birds of Tokyo and the light show and the fireworks that it was going to be awesome. Was it everything that you expected and hoped?
Yeah, look, it was, Joey. I'm just a massive rat for the stadium. I think, as you know, the acoustics are unbelievable. There's nothing we've got in Melbourne that goes near the acoustics with the speakers coming back in on the crowd and the noise not escaping, but also not being overbearing either. I'm a convert now in the past 4 or 5 years to having a night grand final, or at least a twilight grand final. I know everyone's got a different view on that, but that's where I'm at with that particular aspect. And even the game itself, Joey, I mean, I know everyone's now analysed it and critiqued it, but it was a fantastic game of footy basically throughout. I know that the last quarter and a half from a Bulldogs perspective was disappointing, but the standard of football played in that period in time when Melbourne rammed on, as we know, 16 of the last 17 goals of the game, I defy anyone to look at that and say that's not the best football they've seen. And I thought Bill Angus Brayshaw summed it up pretty well yesterday, didn't he, on the Sunday Footy Show. It's probably Melbourne's best 15 minutes in its entire history, that late third quarter surge.
Oh, no doubt about that. And 100 points to 7 at one stage just shows you they were dominant. They're the best side in the comp. Well done to Melbourne. I want to know off the field now. Everyone's had a look at the game and we have too. It looked like early on maybe Maxi Gawn, but I reckon James Harms has come late. I reckon they'll chomp his arms. I saw Goody up on Gorney's shoulders there doing a bit of a dance too. So they've really had a crack, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And they've done it well. They've done it with class. Look, I saw them straggling out of the hotel they were in at Joondalup yesterday as we had the Sunday Footy Show cross bill. And they were moving hotels from that resort into the city. I think they've got a few requirements to be in that place for 2 or 3 days. And then I think it's up to them as to whether they come straight back to Melbourne or stay in WA or head elsewhere, wherever the borders allow them to go.
Now, what about your mate Basil, your bromance? You got very, very close, but I think he might have stuffed up a couple of things on...
He didn't, Bill.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Well, what happened to one? Simon Goodwin was supposed to say a speech. He got up there and he said this on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday.
Yeah, I got shafted, didn't I? I didn't know what happened there. I had it all ready to go. I had the cheat notes and a few sponsors.
Say it now.
Give
the speech now, Goody.
Do it now.
Yeah.
I just would have said to the supporters and everyone at home, this is us, this is who we are, and they should be so proud. So, hopefully all the supporters back home are enjoying it. I know they're in lockdown, but... speaking to a few, I know they're singing a few beers.
Well, that's one. And then, of course, Andrew Embley gets up to present the Norm Smith. And I'll do it. No, out, Evers, off the stage. I can do it. I can announce Christian Petrarca. So come on, Fiddy. What's he doing?
You're being harsh, Bill. There's nothing that Andrew Embley or Simon Goodwin could or would have said that Basil couldn't. And he is Mr. Perth. And look, I've delved deep into the behind-the-scenes situation here on this. And I'm, as you know, Bill, I was going to defend him regardless of the outcome on this. Yes. And I've got to the bottom of it. Kate Roffey, the president of the Demons on ABC Radio, had a perfect explanation as to how this happened.
They let the fireworks and stuff go a bit early. Maxi lifted that cup up and the boys were up on the stage before they knew what to happen. And Basil was desperately trying to stop it and pull it back, but it was too late. The celebrations were too far gone.
Oh, Basil was desperately trying to stop it. So the fireworks, they went off early, Bill.
Well, I think Basil said, hit it quick. It's all about me up here.
So once the fireworks went, the Melbourne players reacted. They jumped up on stage and Goody never got his moment. But
he was on Breakfast Morning TV, Joey, over across nationally, and I think that show started probably at 4:30 or 5 a.m. Perth time, and on the Saturday, and he was still talking in a microphone at midnight somewhere as well. So he had and he was on our show the previous night, Bill, even though he was a Channel 7 person. We managed to get him on the Sunday Footy Show Grand Final preview edition, and he just wanted to pass there. So no, he just needs a microphone in his hand, Joey. You know that.
He did a pretty good job, though.
And it rated 4.1 million, the most ever on television this year. Unbelievable ratings, and they did do a pretty good job. Even now, mate, I'll flog Brayshaw.
They did very well, the boys.
That's what happened.
What happened?
The fireworks button was just there, right?
And
Basil spun around at one stage. and his nose hit it.
Accidentally hit it.
Accidentally. He hit the button just there. Listen to Damo. Bill,
stop it.
Can't say that, Bill.
What about Angus Brayshaw? We had him on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday, and that was his best game he's played for the year.
It was, actually.
Great time.
Very good.
Great time to do it. We asked him about Uncle James.
We're compiling a list back here in Melbourne of people who've tried to insert themselves in this premiership.
Maybe your uncle.
Yeah, and look, I saw a lot of him last night. He was, I don't know if it was a coincidence. Everywhere I sort of turned around and looked, he was floating around. So I'll put James on the list, but he surely goes straight to the top, I would have thought, as well.
Damo, you were in the rooms. Did you see James wandering around?
I did. I saw him and his brother, Mark Brayshaw, the father of Angus, and Jim was disgracing himself just the way he tried to somehow insert himself into conversations that he had no part to be in. And yeah, it wouldn't surprise anyone who knows him, though, that he was that way.
Any photos where he's just got the hand in the pocket and the stance like it's Cottesloe Beach or wherever it was?
And the narrowing of the eyes in that sort of Brad Pitt style of a look at the camera and grin. He had a big week, Jim. He only got out on Tuesday, but I think he packed a bit in by the time the grand final had come around.
Absolutely, he did. Hey, stick with us, Damo. Still plenty more footy to talk about. We'll speak to you after.
It's the Rush Hour, Joey and Bill, Triple M.
This is Damo's recovery session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Joey Montagna, Billy Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour, and we are joined by Damien Barrett for the wash-up from the grand final, Joey.
Damo, what about the other side of the coin? We've spoken about Melbourne, how brilliant they were. What about from the Western Bulldogs, a bit of the fallout there? Because, I mean, for 2.5 quarters, they were certainly in it up to their eyeballs, but when it all fell apart, it fell apart in a rush.
It's a hard one to assess, Joey, isn't it, and Bill? Plus 19 from a Bulldogs perspective when Marcus Bontempelli kicked his third goal to minus 74 on the final siren. So you analyse the game at that stage, halfway through the third quarter, and they're winning a premiership and Marcus Bontempelli's adding a Norm Smith medal to his CV. But an hour, or not even an hour and a half, 45 minutes later, it's a 13-14 goal loss. So it's hard to work out, isn't it, Joey? I mean, we always overanalyze a grand final outcome. A couple of aspects out of it, though. Steph Martin turns 35 inside 2021. So he will go around again, I believe, and his body would suggest in the last two seasons of footy, the previous one at the Brisbane Lions, that it's just not going to be reliable enough to cope with. So I think they need to address that. Do they tell me, Joey, do they need to also somehow bolster their midfield group? I mean, we talked about it all year as being a great midfield and one with depth, but ultimately, when it got willing in that third quarter on the weekend and throughout the last quarter, they just weren't able to match the physicality of the Demons, were they?
No, you're right, but I think that's the point you made there, is Melbourne's physicality. I mean, there aren't too many midfields that are as big and tough as Oliver Petrarca, Jack Viney, that can go through their harms as well. I mean, they are quite, Gorn. I mean, the Bulldogs have got their own different way of doing it. And maybe Josh Dunkley was the man who sort of has lost a bit of his spot in that side. He's the one that's, fallen out, that he's the big body that could play in the midfield that didn't really get much of a crack at it. Oh, look, I think we do sometimes overreact to what happened in the last quarter and a half. Yeah. I mean, the Dogs have been brilliant for most of the season. They've got some deficiencies in areas. They find a way to cover up for it. I think the ruck situation will be something, though, they probably will look at in the off-season.
Well, Sam Darcy, I know he's only going to be a kid, but there's something to work with. They'll get him, won't they? Yugel Hagen, who we haven't seen a lot of, number one pick. And then Josh Bruce will come back at some
point. It's going to be late in the year, isn't it? They might need to find another key defender as well, another big body in defense.
Just with Darcy too, I mean, it's hard to think that he's going to have a major impact in 2022. But having said that, we saw what happened in the second season of the career of Luke Jackson. Game number 30 in the grand final. And, I mean, if he could play to three quarters of that level inside the two seasons, his first two seasons, well, he's going to be something. Because Luke Jackson already is a star, I think, Joey, isn't he? I mean, it's, I don't think he's a rising star, as he was officially this year, being judged that that title. But he's here, isn't he? I mean, he's a legit player.
He's a legit player. He's a big part of that side and will be going forward. Of course, he's a Western Australian who was able to play on his home deck and put on a good show. Speaking of over in Western Australia, a little bit of news and some whispers around Josh Kennedy, the West Coast Eagles superstar.
Yeah, he told one of the functions over here, Joey, on the weekend with microphone in hand that he's yet to make up his own mind about going on into 2022. Ooh. He did say that it was his call to make, and I've got no doubt that that is the complete case. So you come out, as you know, a month or so after the Eagles' last game for the year, and he's yet to get his own head around that himself. So whether, you know, I don't know what the contractual situation is. I don't know whether he's been asked to take a massive cut. I don't know any of that background, but I do know that, as he said himself, he's just weighing it up. Is it right to go into a 16th season or beyond a 16th season? So, yeah, massive name, isn't he, in the Eagles' history? Massive player from a goal kicking perspective in a competition historical sense. And yeah, you don't yet know, Bill, if he's going into next year.
He loves his fishing and going down to the beach and his shack, but they need to make some changes, West Coast.
Well, that's poor. What I thought. I mean, even Shannon Hearn, I thought maybe they might have been some change, and then it sounded like no, they were going to stick with everyone again, and I just sort of presumed Kennedy and Hearn and all those would play on. But maybe if you've taken this long to still think about it, it's not ideal, because normally as a player you sort of know if you've still got the desire to keep playing, and if you start questioning it, that's maybe when you should be thinking, maybe it is time, if you are doubting yourself or doubting your desire to play on again, because it's not easy, especially as you get older, to do pre-seasons and to go through it all again. So that's fascinating.
Another team that will be some changes and already has been, I see down there at Geelong, James Pops Kelly has been appointed as an assistant coach. They need one there. I think four have gone.
Get one, didn't they, Bill? Given Matty Knights is headed across to the Eagles as part of their new assistant coaching ranks. We've had Corey Enright leave there to go to St Kilda, and Matty Scarlett, you think is just going to have a time off footy, don't you?
Yeah, he won't coach anywhere, I believe, and he's very honest about all that. And he'll just go and spend a year at home. Well, hearing anything over there? Anything?
I wouldn't be surprised, Bill, if you got a great Geelong person in James Kelly coming back into the club. Wouldn't be totally surprised if Harry Taylor made an appearance back there on those assistant coaching ranks. I know he returned to Perth this year after playing in the grand final of 2020, or returned to WA at least. And some talk around that he may be part of the new look Geelong assistant coaching ranks. Just on Scott, Chris Scott himself, Joey and Bill, I was a week ago convinced he would 100% be the coach in 2022. There's just enough talking people that I do have footy chats with at other clubs and other people around the industry that have left me just a little bit less convinced that that's the case, that conversations might be going on because it's not just the contract for 2022 I think you need to factor in right now, is it? You need to look at what's going to go beyond that. And if that's the case, that conversation may well be, as we speak, being brought forward to the right now with Steve Hocking heading in there as chief executive officer.
That's interesting. I think my initial thoughts with Chris Scott is I would play out 2022. I expect him to coach next year, but I'm almost thinking, Damo, he's all in for one more year with this group. Right. Yep. So almost let it play out. Let's have one more, you know, crack at going to the well. Yep. Then at the end of 2022, you make a decision on the coach, you make a decision about the whole list rejuvenation or everything about the playing group, but maybe give him that one more chance crack.
I think you're right, Joseph.
Very good. Hey, thank you very much. Hey, Damo, when are you back? What's your plans? Are you staying in West Australia or what are you doing?
No, I'll just clear some more work commitments here today
What about that?
Jeez, you're a flog, Damien. Clear some work commitments. You're like Rachel. And Jim sit up and clear some work commitments.
What is that?
I've actually got a lunch to get to right now, guys.
Good boy, Damien.
Damo's recovery session.